And now we listen to the plea of St. Paul to the divided early Christian community in Corinth. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Here in Burwell, we strive to be Christians together, not churches divided. Jesus came to found the church, not the churches, so let us now pray for an even greater unity in Christ.
We now hear part of one of the most beautiful psalms, which speaks to us of God's love for that he has created, and these are verses from Psalm 96. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. Before the mountains were born, or the earth, or the world brought forth, you are God, without beginning or end. You turn men back to dust and say, Go back, sons of men. To your eyes, 1,000 years are like yesterday, come and gone, no more than a watch in the night. Make us know the shortness of our life, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Lord, relent. Is your anger forever? Show pity to our servants. In the morning, fill us with your love. We shall exult and rejoice all our days. Give us joy to balance our affliction for the years when we knew misfortune. Show forth your work to your servants. Let your glory shine on their children. Let the favour of the Lord be upon us. Give success to the work of our hands.
I'm Sue Evans, and we can now listen to the wonderful offer from Jesus Christ that we can abide in his love. It comes from the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master's doing. But I have called you friends, because I've made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Our preacher this morning is Deacon James Hurst, who's my colleague and fellow deacon in the Catholic Church in Newmarket. And he recorded this homily earlier this week from our church, right in the heart of Newmarket, near Waitrose.
I was introduced to Bible study during my formation, which only seems like yesterday, but was in fact nearly 2 years ago. We Catholics are not as well versed in the Bible as some of our other Christian brethren, but I enjoy it very much, and of course find wisdom and enlightenment wherever I turn. I thought that it would be interesting to try to identify where the internationalization of Christianity began in the Bible, as this is our theme today. I'm sure that you're all experts on the subject, but this is what I've worked out for what it's worth. I started with Pentecost, but that's really still aimed at bringing the good news to the Jews, those who spoke foreign languages. We know that St. Paul evangelized mostly among the Gentiles, possibly because Syrian Christians may not have forgiven him for their persecution. However, one tract that I seldom hear, but I find very striking, was a very vivid dream of St. Peter while he was by the seaside at Joppa. Acts chapter 10 holds a wonderful account of the hungry Peter being presented 3 times with a huge sheet of full of animals to eat. He refused, despite his hunger, considering them profane. And then the voice said to Peter, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Directly following this, he went to Caesarea Philippi and converted the household of the centurion Cornelius and many other Gentiles. And I think that episode, told so eloquently by St. Luke, is the moment when the barricades came down and the rest of the earth was let in. Why was Peter in need of such a push? Perhaps because it's easy to be introspective, to focus just on what's around us. He needed heavenly help to change his point of view. Of course, we're all guilty of that, aren't we? I often go out and look at the sky and remind myself just how puny and insignificant I am compared with the heavens. And then I try to imagine the other way round, God's view looking down on earth. I'm sure that he agrees with me that I am indeed puny. And yet, he has given me the gift of faith and friendship, and that's incredible. If we stay with God's perspective just a little longer, and winding back 2,000 years, it seems obvious that this precious gift of Christian faith should never be limited to those Jews who accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Why would such a tiny group be the only ones to be saved? Christianity must be a message for all, for the whole world. Just as Scripture tells us to spread the word throughout the world by treating all humans the same as Jesus has treated us, so should we Christians unite in representing Christ's message to a world now so inward-looking that it has lost touch with spiritual reality. Let's look at what we share in common and magnify that, instead of dwelling on our differences. These differences came about, after all, by human mistakes, and they diluted the effect of the sacred word. Let us unite in celebrating our common beliefs so clearly stated in St. John's Gospel today, and do so with joy. John also explains how we humans, branches of the vine of Jesus, must accept pruning, hardship, to teach us and make us more fruitful. Our Lord suffered humiliation, torture, and a cruel death for the sake of the world. So it would be wrong to expect a quiet life and a comfortable existence with few challenges. One of our older parishioners recently reminded me that for a few generations now, we had had no world wars, thank God. But that, she thought, maybe the COVID-19 pandemic, with all the misery and death that it brings, was this age's equivalent. people die most cruelly, freedoms are restricted and economies denied. And yet, health workers are our brave soldiers on the front line, risking their lives. And there are clever scientists working day and night to develop weapons that will defeat the common enemy. An enemy that appears to be developing its weaponry to outflank us, just when we think we're winning. At least in this world war, we are not fighting nation against nation, and some good is seen. The huge numbers of volunteers who, formally or informally, are helping their neighbors, fetching food and medicines for the vulnerable. Churches together, uniting to deliver food parcels to the underpaid families of key workers. A little bit of a wartime spirit is emerging in this hitherto for inward-looking, self-serving world. Let's pray that the good stays long after the bad has gone, and that we learn some lessons as the world rebuilds its economies and health services. Jesus tells us that we can ask for whatever we wish, but only if we abide in him and keep his commandments. Let us pray together to God that our world learns its lessons and that people are led to faith in Jesus. Let's pray too that we Christians see something of Jesus in every one of his people and encourage and welcome them as they stumble back to the light. Jesus says, "I have said these things so that my joy may be in you." Let us be encouraged by this wonderful present of the joy of serving Jesus, our friend, and radiate this joy as Christians together to everyone that we meet, treating all that we meet as Jesus would treat them, and so encourage them to follow the light. God of life, you have created every human being in your image and likeness. We sing your praise for the gift of our many cultures, expressions of faith, traditions and ethnicities. Grant us the courage always to stand against injustice and hatred based on race, class, gender, religion, and fear of those not like ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you have shown us in Christ that we are one in you. Teach us to use this gift in the world so that believers of all faiths in every country may be able to listen to each other and live in peace. Lord, hear us. O Jesus, you came into the world and shared fully in our humanity. You know the hardships of life for people who suffer in so many different ways. May the spirit of compassion move us to share our time, life, and goods with all those in need. Lord, hear us.